Hello, and welcome back to Tenant Talk, a show dedicated to providing insights and exchanging ideas on growing and operating a small business. When you network, it's not just a matter of what can I get from somebody else, but it's also a matter of what can I give. In this season, we'll dive into various challenges businesses face, from networking to leasing space to recruiting talent and so much more.
It's not always about business, even here in DC.
You'll find it here on Tenant Talk. Hi, welcome to Tenant Talk Season 2. This is a show that is intended to act as a resource for small businesses and a forum for business owners to exchange ideas. In Season 1, we talked about a variety of topics like what are some of the benefits of a values-based business. We talked about what are some of the very specialized services that small businesses need that you should absolutely consider contracting out. And we also talked about how to utilize your landlord as actually a resource to help make your business grow. In Season 2, we're going to talk about networking, how to maximize networking, how to get the most out of the time you spend networking. We're going to talk about things to think about when signing your first lease. And for more established businesses, we're going to talk about what are the pros and cons of leasing versus buying your space. We're going to spend some time also talking about marketing. And lastly, we're going to talk about employee retention and employee recruitment, a very important item in today's economy and especially impacting small businesses. So I'm going to be your co-host on this journey. My name is Bill Singer. I'm a principal at Kenwood Management. Kenwood is a Bethesda-based real estate owner-manager. We own and manage about 1.4 million square feet of office, medical, and flex space in the Baltimore and Washington markets. We are, in fact, a small business ourselves. We have 15 employees. And joining me again for Season 2, my Season 1 co-host, Christina May. Christina is the CEO and founder of Illuminate, a Frederick-based Maryland revenue operations company. Christina, welcome to Tenant Talk, and thank you so much for joining me again this season.
Well, thank you, Bill. Glad to be back for the second season. So let's just dive right on into the first topic, which is all about the importance of networking. We have really interesting points of view on this one, so this should be a fun episode. But whether you're a fan of networking or not so much a fan of networking, it is important for every small business to embrace their version of networking. We're going to dive into that today. So why don't we kick that off? Why don't you tell me what you believe the importance of networking is for small businesses?
Yeah, terrific. So to me, among the things that I think are so important for any business owner to consider when they're approaching networking is that first and foremost, you have to think about it as a two-way street. When you network, it's not just a matter of what can I get from somebody else, but it's also a matter of what can I give? What can I offer somebody else? You'll find in networking that if you think about it as in that format, like I'm ready to give, and through giving, I will also get, you'll find it much more productive. It also, I think, has a lot to do with how you want to approach the relationships of the people that you interface with. If you do it in a very sincere manner, and approach it like I actually want to help you as opposed to, gosh, what can I get from you? You're going to get so much more out of it and it's going to be so much more beneficial for your business. What do you think, Christina? What are your thoughts?
I think it's especially important for a small business when you're getting started and there's certain places that you can go for to meet new people. But truly, networking can be, I think, both in person, but also can be remote, as so many things are now. But really, the goal is meeting new people, finding opportunities, not just for yourself, but for also for those that you're working with. So it's very much that same, shall we say, rule of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. You get what you give, and really meeting people and their experiences and broadening those that you can not only help directly, but those that you can reach indirectly as well.
Right. And I'd add to that, I think one of the important things when you're talking to people, it gives you an opportunity to really show your curiosity in what they do, how they ended up where they are today, what are the pain points of their business, what are the things that are working well. Because just from that curiosity perspective, you're going to think about things for your own business in a different way, as well as potentially providing help to the person that you're talking to. And that really kind of dovetails into, I think, another important point of networking, which is the follow-up piece. So often I've come across people that I've met at a networking event and then I never hear from them again. Maybe they give me a business card, but that's really it. And when you meet somebody that you think is very valuable, has some helpful information or just a creative kind of person to talk to, it's very important to follow up with them and maybe even follow up with an idea that you want to bounce off that person. So that component of the relationship then starts to expand because it's not just the first meeting. You've figured out a way to extend the relationship further.
I think that's really important. Let's dive into your networking history.
Sure.
Maybe even dive into, you know, one of those, here's how it started, here's how it's going for you, and, you know, how you personally approach networking versus maybe then versus now.
Yeah, absolutely. So early in my career, I belonged to a number of networking events, which were very much where people would come together in a room. There might be a speaker, but there was no real way to identify people in that room that might actually be a valuable connection. I found another networking group that figured out a way to bridge that, to figure out a way to make those meetings, make those relationships more valuable. Because I think that when you are very comfortable with people in your own network and you meet somebody that you think could benefit from knowing people in your own network, and then you call up people in your network, if those individuals are completely comfortable with you, they're going to be so much more willing to talk to the person that you're trying to make the introduction for. So figuring out a way to bridge that component of making a meaningful introduction from just an introduction is the goal. That's really, I think, what makes all of the networking efforts way more beneficial.
Okay, so it sounds like you started out with searching different networking groups that you could join and finding those that made sense to you.
Correct. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually did a different journey with networking. So it depends on your personality. I am the reluctant networker. I am more of an introverted type person, even though what I do for a living is very extroverted. So I would say that if you're a small business owner and you find yourself in this situation, know you're not alone. There are other people in the room that are going to be feeling very similar to you. So when we started out, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is a good place to start if you're geographically bound. Any place that you do business from an industry perspective, so associations, leadership groups, those are good places. Even networking within your alma mater, your college alma mater group is a good place to get started and get familiar with networking. And it's not, as Bill said, about working the room. So that is my personal definition of probably one of the worst experiences I could be put in. I will be looking for the exits quickly. So one of the ways to get over that, I find, is to I actually pivoted my networking strategy more into seeking out personal introductions and seeking out people like me. So my type will be found hugging a wall or near a door. but we may engage in a longer conversation with you because that's what's important to us. It's not important to work the room. It's important to have one really meaningful conversation. So I might research a couple people before I go, or worst case scenario, go with somebody else, go with a buddy. That really helps too. But networking doesn't have to be a networking group per se. And I think that's important for everyone to know. And not every event is a networking event. I think that's something that's important. So your kid's baseball game is not a networking event. Some people take it a little too far, mm-hmm. and they have the bumper sticker that says, always be networking. Don't always be networking. There are times when people are just trying to be social, get along. They don't really want you to shove your, you know, business card right in their hand right away, right. and be like, call me. It's not always about business. Even here in DC.
Yep. And I'd add to that that you bring up an excellent point that this is a situation where quality is way more valuable than quantity. Just gathering business cards, just looking for people to fill your Rolodex. For those of us who remember what a Rolodex is, it's just not the way to think about marketing. You want to make those relationships of a quality nature, not just collecting people's names. And that that extension, by doing that, by providing that level of quality, you're going to get just so much more out of the relationships that, that you developed within your network, and asking those people for help in expanding or getting to know people. Business is very much a relationship-driven thing. And when you recognize that, when you're authentic with the people that you talk to, and you're very willing to help, they're usually ready to do the same in exchange. So it's important to approach networking in that format.
It absolutely is. And I will jump on that to add in a pet peeve of mine, which is LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. It's great. And we've talked about different places to network. You can network digitally as well. So LinkedIn is really the go-to place for businesses to network with each other, owners, etc. You can find groups, all sorts of things. It's really attuned to the business. However, there are those that have the always be networking sign on, and instead of always be networking, it's always be connecting. And you're getting constant connections from pure strangers that really, the first thing they're doing is making an ask of you. And that is a tactic, that is a sales tactic, but it's not an authentic way to use LinkedIn. But LinkedIn is a great tool to meet and network with other people, especially if the in-person networking isn't available to you geographically or any other reason. You're trying to connect with somebody else in the industry that might be in another part of the world or part of the country. LinkedIn's a great way to start that conversation. I also know individuals that are really strict with their LinkedIn, and they only connect with people that they actually know.
I'm that way, exactly.
There you go.
Only people that I know, yes. Yeah. And the strangers I don't accept. Sorry for any strangers who are listening.
But, you know, or if you're going to connect with me, give me a reason to connect with me, not just you're trying to sell me a service. That is a really great way. Something that I do to network with others that I feel more comfortable with is just going into a room and talking with people. That might be difficult for someone like me, but volunteering to have a job actually for me makes the entire experience so much more pleasurable. So I have met a lot of individuals by volunteering for organizations. Volunteer at the actual check-in desk. You'll meet everybody. And it's not awkward. You have something to say.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier. And I find that to be a really easy way to kind of lock in, give yourself a commonality with everyone that you're trying to get to know, and not having to come up with awkward small talk.
Yeah. So, and another way to think about LinkedIn that somebody told me about that I thought was just very, very creative was that this individual had, I don't know, 500 plus connections on LinkedIn, and he actually kind of ranked the people in his LinkedIn network between A, B, and C. A contacts would be people that he knows so well that he would have no problem introducing them to anybody else that he met. Level B would be individuals that he used to be close with, but not as close with. So probably a call or a follow-up he would need to make before he could make an introduction for one of his B-level contacts. And then the C-level would be the people that he just lost touch with and haven't really communicated with. So there are lots of different ways, I think, that you can think about a platform like LinkedIn and utilize it in a networking format.
I think so too. Something else to keep in mind is sometimes people don't want to network with their peers, people that they actually may compete with. And I actually think that's sometimes the easiest networking of all, because you both can talk shop. And those relationships that I have with other business owners are really, really, really important to me. And I can ask questions that I can't ask others about HR, are you seeing this in the market? And it takes the awkwardness out of, you know, trying to work the room. And it's a rising ship situation. That's how I always look at it. There's plenty of business for everyone. And who knows, sometimes you might end up collaborating with that person in the future. Your business may change into a different direction. Our business is an exact example of that, actually. We used to classify ourselves as a marketing agency. We no longer do so. So I still have all of my marketing agency friends from meeting them through conferences and events and networking with them. But it's great to still have those contacts, and they are actually business referrals for us now.
Yeah, exactly. And you're reminding me of something else that I want to share with our audience, and that is, you know, when you're a small business, there are a variety of services that you frequently need. Let's say you need an attorney for something that you're working on. You can often turn to individuals in your network, whatever town or you're in, and ask for a recommendation if they know of somebody. What you'll find kind of interesting about that, particularly if you ask two or three or four people for a recommendation on a particular service, is you'll find often that a couple of people will refer the same attorney in this example. And then that will make you feel very comfortable, like, yeah, that's probably a good recommendation. So it's another way to use that digital networking platform.
Awesome. Well, I think we've provided some great tips for our audience today on networking. If you were to choose one takeaway for our audience, what would it be?
It would be, as I said earlier on, really focus on the quality of the relationships. It's so much more valuable than just the quantity of it. Be sincere, be authentic. It is the most important thing, I think, in business. And it's selling you. It's selling what you're all about. And when you do that, when you approach it that way, I think the connections that you're going to make through your network will be much more meaningful. So, Christina, thank you so much for joining us on Tenant Talk.
Absolutely.
Season 2, Episode 1. We're very happy to be back and look forward to seeing all you for Episode 2. Thank you.